Good evening. Tonight I'd like for us to consider something. Have you ever wanted to set the record straight about something? It seems like in our culture today it is very easy for some facts to be known, but not necessarily all of them. Sometimes we hear people talking and spreading their own stories. Many times we call them rumors or gossip. We wonder, how did they all get started? What was known and what was known? And if there were things that were said about you, would you have a tendency to immediately set the record straight? Would you want to let what is known right or wrong? But then you get to wondering, what would be the benefits of doing so? Would there also be any consequences? And sometimes by responding, you might let those assume that falsely think something that they're right. And on the other hand, you might prove that they might be wrong. But when you think about what to say or what to do, they may not completely know who you are, but there is someone that does. There is someone that knows what we think and what we say and also how we act. You see, people don't always know what we're thinking. They don't always hear what we have to say, and they don't always see exactly what we do. But if we were to express our thoughts, if we were to express our words, if we were to express our actions, would they help us or would they hurt us? Well, I like to consider one individual that might give us a different perspective on that. If you would, please look with me in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. No doubt you'll find there is one individual that had a lot of different ideas about who he was. This individual was truly the Son of God. But yet there were those that had some facts that did not have all the facts. Some might have had no fact at all, and others might have had the wrong facts. And Jesus, of course, began to be in a situation where was the response necessary for what was taking place. In Mark chapter 15, here beginning in verse 1, immediately in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him unto Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said unto him, "It is as you say." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. You begin to wonder, what were the accusations of Jesus? We're told that there were many things he was accused of. Well, there might have been some individuals that surely knew Jesus and might have told part of the truth, maybe extorted the truth in a different way, or perhaps did not even tell the truth at all. And when Jesus was asked the question if he was the king of the Jews, he said, "It is as you say." But then, as other things begin to be accused of, Jesus did not respond at all. He answered nothing. Now, sometimes as human beings, we might have a tendency to immediately respond to an accusation. But Jesus answered nothing, and we're told that Pilate marveled. Perhaps there was a big reason why Jesus answered nothing. Imagine that by answering nothing, what kind of impression would have had on Pilate? What impression would it have had on those that accused him? Or perhaps by the many bystanders that wanted to crucify him, crucify him. Or did Jesus perhaps have a more underlying reason? Was there something deeper? After all, Jesus could have responded. He could have said yes. He could have said no. He could have done more to prove himself, but then again, what was left to prove? Didn't Jesus already express the fact that he truly is the Son of God? About what he thought? About what he spoke and how he spoke? About how he lived each and every day? Well, I believe that Peter can give us a good reason not only to think about why Jesus did what he did, but also to give us something to think about as well. In 1 Peter chapter 2, here beginning in verse 21, I think we all need to pay attention. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 21, Peter says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." Peter says that Jesus committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who was Jesus committing himself to? Well, if you recall, Jesus did not do his own will. But as he prayed to his Father, not his will, but his Father's would be done. He wanted to do the will of God and the will of God's alone. Is that the same attitude that you and I have? Are we willing to submit our will to the will of our Heavenly Father? Jesus was willing to do whatever it took to please his Heavenly Father. And do you know what it means to do whatever it takes? It means to make a commitment. Jesus committed himself. When we decide that we too will follow Jesus, we're making a commitment to go wherever he has to lead. When we decide to become a Christian, we are committing to do the will of God. It's not just a one-time effort. It is a lifetime responsibility. We know we need to do so because of who God is. He judges, as Peter says, with righteous judgment. God is one that is going to judge us. And if we have truly been found faithful to him, we can enter into everlasting life. But if not, we will enter into eternal damnation. And so we need to decide, are we going to spend an eternity in heaven or in hell? Jesus did the will of God. Well, what about us? Are we willing to do the will of God? Are we willing to commit ourselves to the one who judges righteously? Tonight, if you need to respond to the invitation, perhaps to make that commitment, won't you do so right now as together we stand and sing?